Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a getaway Friday, July the 24th, 2026. 7:24:26, 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour here, WGH Talk Time. Joined in studio this morning by Matt Morgan, on time and wearing a very nice shirt. It's green and yellow. Green's my favorite color, so it stuck out to me. I like that shirt.
I think they're supposed to be pineapples, but it's like, you know, abstract pineapples.
I can see pineapples in that. I like that. It's very, very summery.
It's nice.
Very summery. And you don't normally wear short sleeves, so...
No, I went to my grandma's house yesterday, and my grandpa, like, sometimes he has shirts that he just, I don't know, my grandma buys him stuff, and he doesn't like it, or something like that. And, so he asked me if I wanted them. I got this one, and got one that has, like, a whole bunch of, like, Captain America-looking shields on it.
Oh, well, there you go. Little change-up from the plaid.
Well, I ain't gonna get, yeah, I mean, this is fun. I like this.
Yeah, I like that shirt. And it looks like it's nice and cool, too, on a warm day.
Oh, yeah, this thing is light.
Yeah, very light. Well, here we are on a Friday. I should mention, got word this morning, at about 11 o'clock this morning, we should be joined by somebody who will be in here and arguing with us for the final 2 hours. So this will be fun. You'll have to stay tuned for that. But the ETA is around 11 a.m. this morning. So that will be a lot of fun. You're not going to want to miss that. Okay, Matt. And phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Been a big week here in Marion. You were at the city council meeting on Monday night, which was the fallout from flock cameras and fiscal emergency. So let's start where we started earlier in the day Monday. Marion being declared fiscal emergency. This has been coming a long time since last November when the city asked for help from the state. I think you heard the interview with Keith Faber and Mary Ellen and Jason Schauber and... The litany of guests we've had this week, what do you make of everything that's been going on?
Well, it doesn't necessarily surprise me that we were put, again, I don't know why I say I don't live in the city, but I don't know why the city was, it doesn't surprise me that the city was put on a fiscal emergency. You know, it took a while, but they got there. I mean, I think it's probably not good as far as having to have it done, but I do think that it'll definitely... be beneficial as far as getting the finances of the city back on track.
When you have heard Auditor Faber talk and you have heard Mary Ellen and Jason Schauber, all people with finance backgrounds who've had some stake here in the city at some point or another, what's your understanding of where this started? Because there have been a lot of opinions on that for quite some time.
Well, Keith Faber said it started in 2019.
December of 2019, he said, was the last time the books were reconciled in Marion.
So, well, I mean, there's, you know, I don't know, whoever, so, I guess that would be, you know, I guess that leaves, the Landon administration, as far as the auditors go.
Now, we have to be fair to say that he said things never got better, so we can't say under Miranda, yeah, McGinnis or Vidya that things ever got better, but Auditor Faber did say that there might have been some problems before that, but he certainly did not help them, and if anything, made them worse. And also said, paraphrasing, that he really did not know what he was doing. And you know, nearly 2 years of that's a lot of damage.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, not reconciling your books for so long is, you know, I mean, I think that probably one of the bigger issues and the missed payment to the IRS or the state, whichever one it was.
And by the way, if you'd like to call in this morning, feel free, 740-383-9944. We love the opinions. And I think this is a big subject right now, because until this board is appointed by several different people, you know, the governor appoints one person to this board, I think. The county auditor appoints one person to this board. There's a lot that goes on the supervisory board by the state. You know, there's just, this is going to be a long road, I would guess. At least 2 years, I think, is what Auditor Faber said.
Well, 2 years isn't, all that long in the you know, the long run. I mean, but, you know, I guess it took 2 years. Or it's going to take 2 years to get it all back on track.
Well, I don't know. I would think 2 years in the long run is a long time. I mean, that's a council term at this particular point. That's going to encompass the next council election. It's going to encompass the next mayoral election. I don't know that it's good to be going into these elections with the city in fiscal emergency, essentially being watched over by the state. And I'm sure their recommendation is going to be to cut back. I don't think you can keep raising everything without making tremendous cuts in some area or another.
Probably not. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, Keith Faber said it himself. He said, you know, you can either raise revenues or cut expenses.
And
often it's both.
And often it's both. Go ahead, caller.
Give me a reason to love your city.
Well, I think there are a lot of good reasons that don't have to do with government to love the city.
Yes, but government is supposed to be the foundation of our community.
Well, but we have to look at ourselves, though, and say that we are the people. I'm not. I've been living in the county for quite some time now, but the people of the city did elect this group, and they elected the last group. I mean, this goes back to essentially 2020, 2019, so this goes back a long way.
Correction to what you just said. Some of the people of this city voted for the current administration. Those who didn't obviously voted for someone else, or they've gotten wise and they're fed up and they don't vote, which is a very, very bad thing to do, because look at the present situation of Marion.
Well, if you're not voting, then you don't have much of a say, and I would find it hard to believe that somebody who is voting in municipal elections didn't vote for anybody in the last 6 years, any of these people. That would be a reach to say.
Well, you know, it's going to take a good long while. It, I think, would be quite a task to resolve everything in 2 years. It's kind of like obesity. You know, a person doesn't get 300 pounds overnight. And it takes a while to knock those pounds off and get back to being healthy. So it's got to take time, and unfortunately, patience.
Well, the city's got a good revenue stream, as Auditor Faber said. So essentially, if you want to be over this quicker, it's going to hurt, but what you would have to do is you would have to raise rates, and you would have to do what everybody doesn't want to do.
I don't think he said you have to raise rates.
No, but it doesn't take an economic genius to figure this out. You're going to have to raise rates, and you're going to have to cut back on what you spend tremendously.
Crying out loud, we haven't had an economic genius in some years, so look where we are now.
Right, but it's most of these things are not driven by economics. Most of these things are driven by politics. We don't want to raise people's rates because that
taxes,
makes people...
The taxes that come in are darn near a sure thing. And that's why people have to hold the reins and, you know, look at projections for half a year and then not really go and spend money that they think they will have a little further down the road.
Well, but it's two-part. You're going to have to raise the rates, but you're also going to have to make tremendous cuts to what you spend.
Raise the rates of what?
You're going to have to go in and raise the rates over things you have control of. You could try to raise the city taxes. You could try to raise the sanitation bills again. You could try to raise the storm sewer bills again. You could.
But that doesn't cure, and I'm going to call it the evil, the incompetency of pissing away tax dollars. The citizens should not have to bear the burden of paying more taxes for somebody or some people's fuck up.
Well, no, but this is the way it is. And because it's done, you can't unding the bell. So that's what you're going to, if you want it fixed in 2 years, if you want it fixed sooner, you're going to have to increase revenue streams and you're going to have to cut back on expenditures, and
well,
it can be done.
It's going to depend on what the state wants. If
oh, that's what the state wants.
A 2-year plan, or a 5-year plan, or a 10-year plan.
I believe Auditor Faber said the other day, they do not, I don't think they give a plan like that, and they also say they are not the final word, it's not a city takeover. The government still makes the decision, they're there for an advisory position. And
so what's the deal? How much are we losing tax dollars wise for late taxes, federal taxes, etc.?
I haven't heard any penalties in a long time. They ask every finance committee meeting about penalties, and I haven't heard any penalties in quite some time.
What about penalties from the state?
Nothing. No penalties at all. There's a blanket question every finance committee meeting about have we received any penalties, and I haven't heard any for quite some time.
Well, hopefully they probably figure what the hell, they're in such a mess. How can we exact any penalties?
But the second part I've got to get, this is what is going to help the city the most and get us out of this the most. You're going to have to cut what you're spending, and that means layoffs. Now, you don't want to do that because it's going to decrease your services.
Doesn't necessarily mean layoffs.
Oh, it is. That's your biggest expenditure.
It just means that you can't get what you wanted out of a budget. It could potentially mean layoffs to arrive at getting that all taken care of and be solvent.
Well, what else?
The thing is, every year, the administration comes up with a budget. Those budgets are a wish list. You don't absolutely have to have them.
No, but at this point, you've almost got to go upside down on your budget because you've got to make money that you have lost, which is in the millions of dollars now. So to go upside down, the city's biggest expenditure every year, without question, is staff. And you are going to, if you want to fix this quick and you want to get to where you need to be, you're going to have to make major cuts in the staff. Now, nobody wants to do that because when a city lays off people, it looks bad. It looks bad for your political career. It hurts families. There's no doubt about it. Nobody wants to do it, but that's how you're going to get there. Now, you can try other ways, but I don't know what they would be.
Well, I think somebody was talking about Marion being a pilot program for gambling and prostitution. That'd be a way to make a lot of money and get the debt knocked down.
I don't think the auditor's going to go for that.
I don't know. You know, it's a quick turnaround. Make for a lot of tourism here in Marion.
Well, you know. we'll be talking about this all morning, so stay tuned.
Yep, to a better tomorrow. Somebody bail Marion out.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Matt, what do you think? Quickest way to get out of this?
Well, I mean, you know, you both raise finances and you cut expenditures. I mean, you spend less money and you make more money. I mean, that seems to be the best course of action usually.
Well, that's how it works. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
Hey, a call in from D.C. this morning. How's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. Almost done. 1 week tomorrow, I'll be in the car heading back. But I was just on my way to work, and there were three things that piqued my interest in this first 15 minutes.
Go right ahead.
So, I mean, this is the age-old question of, you know, taxation and, you know, alongside the government simultaneously providing services to people. But people both need services that the government provides, be them trash pickup or, you know, food stamps or what have you. But they also don't want to pay taxes. And, you know, they get mad when their taxes go up because, you know, the government needs to maintain both the amount of staff that they have to provide those services and they need to actually give those services out. But that requires, you know, hikes in revenue. Now, of course, it's a question of, you know, can the city manage its finances better and we wouldn't be in this trouble in the first place. And it's worth going back. You mentioned that we haven't had a completed audit or, you know, our books in order since 2019. Kelly Carr was auditor until December 31st, 2019. So after that, someone else took over. So, you know, you take a very set of, you know, very experienced set of hands and, you know, take them out of office. You know, I'm not saying causation equals correlation, but if that doesn't, then what does? And then the point about, you know, these are the officials that people have elected. That is true. But when you have such low voter turnout, I mean, I remember we were talking on primary night that, you know, we've had, you know, off-year primaries and off-year general elections where we struggle to hit 30% of the vote. I know 23, when the mayor came in, it was different because we had some state issues on the ballot. You know, we got up towards 50% turnout. But people just don't vote. So all this, you know, anger and outrage and conversation, it's a good thing. It's engaging people. But unless, you know, in 2027 that, you know, more people want to go vote, more people want to run, more people want to, you know, get involved beyond, you know, being a talking head, which, I mean, I admit that, you know, I'm not able to run for office because I'm a college student. If I were not, I would, you know, give more thought to it. But those are three observations that I made this morning, and I wanted to share them.
Well, I'm glad you did, and I just think it's very interesting because if there are choices, if there are not choices for mayor next year, if there are not choices for council next year, when people go to vote, what's going to happen? Same thing that's happened for the last couple elections. And when 40th Treasurer of the United States Mary Ellen Withrow was on here talking about this the other day, one of the parting questions I asked was, what's your message to the Democratic Party about the next go-around of elections? And she says they need to get their act together here locally.
And, you know, it doesn't even have to be the Democrats. It has to be, you know, you have to pull in, you know, because at some point, everything transcends national politics. You know, all politics is local. And because at the local level, you know, we're not considering the most divisive of partisan issues, you can sort of, you know, form coalitions based on important local issues like fiscal responsibility, you know, the condition of our schools, things that people want in our city government, more transparency from city council. I know flock cameras have been a big issue lately. It doesn't have to be a partisan election, even though that's what the ballot labels will be. It's elevating the conversation from partisanship to the issues that people really care about. And, you know, that's how you win. That's how you, you know, really expand your base and your appeal is by running on issues that people care about. Because, you know, I guarantee you, if you ask, probably, 7 or 8 Republicans or Democrats across the country why they're a member of that party, they wouldn't give you an answer that is rooted in issues. They would give you an issue that's rooted in, oh, I'm a big fan of Trump, or it would be an issue of personalities or rhetoric and not issues. I think a lot of problems could be solved if, especially local politics, because that, having worked in state government and now the federal government for the last few months, like all politics, it's all local. That's where the quickest impact takes place, is on people's lives. So yeah, it's going to be troublesome if we can't realize that we would need to run as some sort of more focused on issues than party, because you're going to bring more people into your fold that way.
Christian, I have a quick question for you. A lot of people have said this week, this is the fault of the Democrats and the Republicans, all politicians together. Now, I'm not saying that any party is better than the other, and I'm not saying that any party is smarter than the other. But just because of the landscape that we have had here in Marion since 2020, 2019, there haven't been a whole lot of Democrats in office. What Democrats would you point to as being responsible for this problem?
God, I don't think it's an issue of, blame. I think, every day, if I have a bad day at work, I'm not going to look back and dwell on what went wrong. I'm going to dwell on, look at the cards we've been dealt right now, irrespective of who dealt them to us, and how we can move forward. But I think it is, when it comes to addressing the state of where we are now as a city, it would make sense to, not particularly assign blame, but to look at, okay, this is who was in office then, and this is what they were doing when things were going well. Let's try to get back to a time when these people were doing the right things, when we weren't in the news for being in fiscal emergency.
Well, I really don't see this so much as blame. I see this so much as what happened. Why do we not want to do this again? And how did we get to that point to begin with? Because this has been a rather traumatic situation for the city of Marion, and is going to be a rather traumatic situation for the citizens and people in general. So I think at some point we do need to look and say, okay, why did this happen? And what's your answer as to why did this happen?
I'm sorry, Scott. You kind of cut out towards the end.
Just the history of this. Where do you lay the I hate to use the term like blame, but why do you think this happened? What was the moment that started us on a downward spiral that nobody seemingly could fix, and a lot of people played a hand in?
Oh, it really hurt, I think, in 2023 when, in 2019, we had already, I think the previous election, the Republicans have sort of made some significant gains on city council, and if my observation of history is correct, there was not as much of a collaborative relationship between Republicans on council and the administration as I think would have been most official. And then 2019 comes and you remove the Republicans gain more of a majority, and the voters very narrowly remove a reliable Democratic incumbent just because she's not a Republican in a town that's increasingly becoming Republican. And that again is a huge issue, that people will not vote for someone just because of their political affiliation. I can say that in a small town that's a conservative town, or a big city that's a liberal city. So, 2019, you sort of see those cracks start to form. then in 2021, you see even more Republican gains, and you see, you know, Tom Pannett loses again. Like you, when you are replacing Kelly Carr and Tom Pannett with people who, you know, it's hard to get anywhere near their status of experience and knowledge, and that's why they were, you know, award-winning incumbents for how they conducted their offices on behalf of the city. So you look at that, and, you know, that was the last 2 years. It didn't help that it was COVID. It didn't help that it was a Democratic mayor with a very Republican city council after 2021. But, you know, you sort of see those things start to form. And I have no doubt that the mayor says he loves the city. And, but, you know, in theory, these problems, if you have, you know, 8-1 Republican council, you should really be hitting the ground running with a comprehensive plan to, you know, fix the financial problems. And if you have that big of a majority, you should not have any issue implementing those and getting the right people in place. And the fact that we are, you know, a year and a half away from the next election, like, you know, he's already had 2.5 years in his term, the mayor has, it's, you know, I understand that it's a tough situation, but...
It's very interesting. Well, Christian, I thank you for calling in from D.C. this morning. I hope you have a good day and hope your last week there is a lot of fun.
Thank you so much, Scott. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, there you go. We're on in Washington, D.C. this morning. See? We're all over the place.
That's what you want.
We're a very politically ambidextrous show that we're on everywhere. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I don't think you can blame one person here, but there were several things that happened over time. Elections, certainly. But, I mean, I remember there was a point where Auditor Landon and Mayor Schertzer were not talking. You know, they worked on the same floor. Offices were feet from each other, and they were not talking. Then there was a point where Miranda McGinnis and Bill Collins were not talking. And they worked on the same floor. And then there was a point where it was just blaming people. You're wrong. You don't know how to do your job. Blah, 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 blah. You know, I don't know that any of that helped. I don't think any of that made a conducive environment to go forward.
No, probably not. I mean, you know, I don't know. The office, you know, the office is, you know, it's in a rough shape right now. And, you know, I don't envy, didn't envy Miranda, don't envy, Vidya.
Well, Vidya, at this point, and, Twyla, I mean, they'll be there, but certainly they're going to get some help from the state at this point. So there's that.
Well, I can't see it as a bad thing. The books... might get caught up, I guess.
No, I wouldn't think so. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott and Matt.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to kind of piggyback what you just said, that it's not about getting stuck on blaming or, you know, fixing. It's not about the extremes. And I think the people today don't want to talk about things. They want to just move forward. Everybody's like, you know, can't we just move forward? Moving forward is a good thing, and we have to do that. But we also have to understand why we got here and how we got here, or pretty good chances we're going to get there again. So we, you know, like I said, people just seem to, and your prior caller, Mr. Christian, not picking on him, but he kind of, in my opinion, he deflected the question. And to me, you know, I keep saying this, if we're avoiding questions, that means we're uncomfortable with something in our own party that we don't want to discuss. And the sooner we talk about transparency, so we also have to talk about where our own people have failed, where our own party has failed, along with where we think the good is, you know? That's leadership to me.
Well, I certainly don't think the Democrats can come out now and just keep blaming and blaming and blaming unless they are going to run somebody in the next round of elections.
Well, yeah, it's pretty much, because, and a lot of people say that to me or whatever, to anybody who complains about city government. Well, if you think it's so easy, you do it. Well, see, I disagree with that. You know, the American people are the CEOs, and we hire people. See, we hire people to do a job. Don't you hire somebody to mow your lawn or somebody to paint your house or somebody to do a room addition or whatever. And we hire public servants. We hire them, and we give them a task, and we're supposed to have checks and balances. But, you know, if they don't do the job, we get rid of them. But we've, in this day and age, we've come to, like, where the people seem to, like, revere public servants, and people seem to, like, oh my gosh, we can't, you know, we can't question them. And it's all kind of reversed in my mind, because we are the ones who really have the control, and we want controls, plural, over our public servants. And it's, you know, just like that, just one little letter, just adding an S changes the whole meaning of what people are saying. You know, I say with flock cameras all the time that, you know, the police want control. To me, that's what the surveillance is about. They want control. The public wants controls, plural. We want controls over the police. If we're going to do this flock camera or anything similar, then we should have a civilian commission that overlooks that, that has no kind of relationship with the police, whether it be an extended family or anything like that. You know, but they don't want to ever talk about that. You know, I keep bringing up that, okay, you keep saying, and it's always said, that if you're not doing anything wrong, then why are you worried about the flock cameras? Okay. Why aren't, you know, I've brought up multiple times, you know, why is it wrong to think that we should have cameras flock us cameras in the mayor's office? And he should have a body camera. All of the civil servants should have body cameras. You know, well, I just don't understand that.
Well, I think the difference is that, because I don't think anybody has ever proven that in Marion, Ohio, that the flock cameras are being used for anything more than license plate readers. And because of that, the people that you're talking about, the city officials, as well as the police officers when they're off duty, would be as subject to these cameras as the rest of us would be.
Oh, and I keep saying that, in general, the reason, you know, and I'm pretty sure, I'll check this, but like I said, it was a felony for police officers to get into the leads system to look at somebody other than for a crime, other than if they're, you know, following the state highway patrol, if they're following behind. They can't. And the reason that is, and the reason they put that in place ahead of everything, they didn't wait until they caught the whole world doing it, is because they know that man is sinful. Man is going to take advantage of things. You know, so, and as I said, you've got a police chief who's the FOP president for the state of Ohio, and there's all kinds of cases going on all over Ohio about cops getting caught or this or that. Mr. Ralph Smith wanted to frame this in the Monday committee meeting, that he wanted, you know, like the risk with flock cameras was people hacking into them, and that is a legitimate risk. But that's not what you hear consistently as the problems that come up. And the problems that come up is people of authority, people in authority, and people who have access to that system use it for nefarious reasons. So because of that, regardless of whether we've caught anybody to date, you know, maybe there's a confession sitting in a file cabinet somewhere where all these cops have used this shit for bad purposes. But, you know, just like with Naomi Craig's mom, it'll sit there for a while, and they can't even solve that. But they want more. They want more surveillance on us. None of that makes any sense. And as I said, you've got to, in a sorts, because we have the FOP president as the chief of police in Marion, Ohio, as a sorts, we've already caught them. because he's someone has to support when all these other cops all over the state, I'm sure that that's police unions going to bat for them.
You know, here's the thing I find interesting about this, is that in the last 40 years, I'm sure the police department has solved quite a bit of cases. I don't think that anybody who's in office now at the police department was there 40 years ago when this mishap happened with the confession letter not being in the right place. Or not
no, but they were
up.
There. They were there in the multiple times that Naomi Craig and her family went up there and said, "Hey, what's going on with this case?" You know, they were very much a part of the system and in leadership positions. If not the chief of police, the mayor was the chief of police. So I guarantee you, at some point in that time, Naomi Craig's family went to that police department, whether he was on the force the day of her murder or not. He was on the force for, let's say, half the time that she was still trying to get answers. And they told her there was nothing.
Right, but I mean, I guess what I'm saying...
So they do have culpability. They weren't just... You know, it'd be one thing, Scott, for if they were just a police, patrolman.
Right,
and they could say, "Yeah, I was with the police for 30-something years. I was just patrolman the whole time. I don't know anything about all that."
But again, I'm not saying they don't have culpability. I'm just saying that that's not every case. That there are cases that.
But like I said before, if I'm going to give my rights away for any reason whatsoever, then as I said, I'm going to err on the side of my rights. I'm going to err on the side of. You know what, if you couldn't find any cases in the state of Ohio, much less the nation, where cops have used this for nefarious reasons, then I would be right there with you on that argument, Scott. But we can find them. They're all over the place.
Well, I don't know. I just think it is interesting that most everybody carries a cell phone. Most everybody has some kind of technology in their home. And that if the police really did want to find somebody, I don't think it would be that hard for them to do it.
And they do, Scott. And because it's happening and because we do doesn't mean it should be that way already. There was a time where we had slaves and everybody was doing it. And, you know, what must not be wrong because everybody's doing it, you know.
Well, I don't...
Like I said, you've got TVs. You've got smart TVs in your house that have cameras on. You don't think... I mean, it has come up in the past where, like, Rent-A-Center had a program, or one of those rental programs. They had a program where if they rent you one of their TVs, they had a program they could put on that TV that you missed your payments, and they could get into the system and get into that computer. What they found out was that managers discovered this, and managers discovered that they could access those computers in real time, and people leave them open, and the cameras are there, and they were sitting there watching, because sometimes people leave a laptop in their bedroom, and what goes on in bedrooms. And
well, I guess people should get box televisions. I don't
know. Class action lawsuit.
Well, I guess people should go get box televisions. I'm sure there are some available at the Goodwill.
I agree, and that's why you'll see a lot of people put a piece of tape over. Or, like, if you buy an Amazon Alexa show, one of their screen, I don't know what the hell, you know, but they have a little button on them where you can shut the camera off. So just because they're everywhere doesn't mean they should be everywhere. At some point, we have to say enough is enough.
Well, and I think people have said it.
You have to start the argument. If it got past us up to this point, I'll agree with you. We slipped up. They caught us slipping. But the people need to wake the fuck up and say, you know what, enough is enough here.
I think they've said it. I think we've heard it.
And don't wait for it. Like I said, don't sit there. And you can't go on this argument where there's no good that comes from them. Yes, there's very few things you can... I mean, there's good that comes from a lot of medication. There's goods that came from Teflon. But all the bad that the Teflon is doing to our environment and to our health. So you can't say, well, you know, there's good things. And I'm going to keep going back to. I guarantee you, because I look at the people who's hanging out on my page after I speak on your show or go up to city council. So I know who's watching and who's paying attention. And you have... I forgot my line of thought there for a second.
No, it's fine. Yeah, no. Well, hey, thanks for calling, and anything else, call back in.
You know me, bud.
Okay. All right. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. 54 minutes past the hour. Feel free to call in if you got anything to say. 740-383-9944. Any thoughts?
On the flock cameras?
Flock cameras. Well, that filled the room Monday. I mean, that's certainly what that was all about. Standing room only.
It was good. You know, I think that many people should show up to the city council meetings every Monday. It'd be good.
But what do you think it was that drew those people there? Why is that such an issue for people?
Flock cameras?
Yeah.
I don't know. People don't like being policed, I guess.
Okay. I guess. I don't know. I think that's an interesting subject.
The why?
Yeah. I mean, what is... I guess, let's say police do know where you are. Okay. What are they going to do with that?
Why do they need to know where you're at?
No, what are they going to do with it? I mean, what is this? How is this information going to help them unless you do something illegally? What is this going to do for them? To hold this information for 30 days... where your license plate was. And how many license plates pass by, you know, this multitude of cameras in the course of 30 days? Tons.
Yeah, but it doesn't put it all together. It'll separate it out by license plate.
Go ahead, caller.
He's back. They sell your information, Scott. You ever seen the app like Geico, where they want you to download the app and... you know, you put it on your phone, and then you drive around, and, you know, it's going to help you get better rates and stuff. Well, I remember when that first came out, and my way of thinking is like, oh, that's kind of cool. But then I think it threw a couple more steps after the fact, and it's like, oh, yeah, they're going to monitor everything I do. So if I, you know, sometimes don't brake, or if I brake too fast, or if I roll through this intersection, or if I do that, it's going to monitor all that, and that's exactly what it was found out to do. They presented it to the people as, oh, hey, this is a good thing. This is going to help you get, you know, good rates. So, but what it ends up to be is it's a tracking device. So you say, what are they going to do with that information? Knowledge is power. The more knowledge the whole reason, and you understand this, Scott, I know you say rhetorical questions, but the whole power with Facebook and all that is the information that they get from you, from the tracking, from what you watch, what you pay attention to, what spurs you, how long you look at something, all of that. That's what it's about. So it's about the information so they can, at some point, use it to deny you medical care, or, you know, they're not going to cover pre-existing conditions, or whatever. You see what I'm saying? It's my dad retired from State Farm, and we used to argue, and he was a big insurance guy. And I said, you know, Dad, what I found with insurance, a lot of insurance companies, boy, they're your best friend when you're sitting there in that office writing that policy. But when comes time to go to put a claim in, often they'll find any reason whatsoever to deny you.
Well, I think that's how most people work. I think when you're trying to sell something to somebody, you want to be as nice as you can. But if something goes wrong, I think that's a different story. But also, the public is not so nice when something is broken either.
Right. But I'm just, like I said, you learn from that. So again, for me, like I said, I'm always going to err on the side of, I'll err on the side of being what is perceived as less safe to not give away all of my rights. I keep going back to before the revolution, 250 years ago, the king and his men could come and do what the hell they pleased, whatever they decreed, and the laws and the rules changed all the time based on what the king wanted, not what the people wanted, not what they voted for. We now have a flock system in the city of Marion that, in my opinion, is illegal because it wasn't authorized by the city council. You know, we keep having a police chief that says, trust us, we've got this. You want to come down, we'll show you. But yet, you already broke the contract, the very first contract that you ever had with the city. So why do we got to wait till it escalates to anything more than that?
It's good. They're good questions. We're about to run out of time this hour, but stay tuned. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right, we're coming up here in less than a minute on the break. But we've got much more this morning. Stay tuned. Any parting words in the final minute?
I would encourage anybody who's curious about the flock cameras to take the police chief up on his word and go take a gander at the flock camera system.
Yeah. What could it hurt?
I mean, I don't see it could.
You know, I would imagine if there were a line out the door for the chief to have to show people the flock camera system, that would be significant.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, it means something to people.
Here comes the break. We'll be back in 15 minutes.
Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?
You know, the funny thing